This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings. And none have been more confounding than what they call the different strokes effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
It takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade. Normally I've got Dave with me, but this morning I've got Gillian.
Morning.
So, very interesting. I've never done a show with a girl before.
Really?
No.
You're a gold star Different Stroker. Fantastic. I'll be gentle, I promise.
Yeah. So, it'll be interesting because I'm used to having a flamboyant gay man beside me.
And you don't know what you've been missing.
No, I don't. So, yeah, I'm sure it'll be an interesting morning. We do have some great stuff coming up later.
Look, you've got a running sheet. I've never seen one of these before, Jade, but I'm very impressed.
Okay, cool. So I get a gold star for preparation.
You're
as well.
Starting off well.
yeah, but we do have an interview later with Adelaide band City Riots, who are got a great new song out. As always, I get 2 weeks in a row of Music Pick of the Week. Really excited, yeah.
All right, so what would David be picking if he were picking?
He'd be picking some random pop song that, like...
Oh, well, I think we're going to have plenty of those this morning.
Like, probably some British pop singer is my best at
somebody,
it.
Somebody from a reality show or...
No, normally.
A bit more Britpop. Okay.
Yeah, a bit more, yeah.
He's got a bit of taste.
Yeah, nice. Kind of, yeah. So, but instead, we get my random indie electro. I've kind of made it go as popish as I could without, you know, it being in David territory.
Oh, that's cute because he's not here. You're filling in that. That's wonderful. I don't want to waste this opportunity, Jade, because you are a social media aficionado, right?
I don't want to put that out there.
No, all right.
I don't want to have that title.
Okay. I'm going to quiz you anyway because, you know, I'm not so much on the Twitter.
Yeah.
I do, and I just wonder, do you get used to things happening so fast that they can't happen fast enough? I mean, you know, you're sort of scouting around, you're getting all the news first. You're saying that Julia Gillard falling over in India was all over the Twitterverse in no time.
Yeah, and couldn't make the front page news until this morning.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's hardly a scoop, is it? So, but do you find yourself getting frustrated when you're getting into some issue, right? And it's like the news isn't happening fast enough.
Well, I find it interesting in, because I use Twitter mostly for news stuff or things that I'm particularly interested in. What
right.
I like about Twitter is that I can follow people who are interested in similar things and who are going to tweet stuff that you're basically using it like a news filtering service because then you're getting the stuff that you care about rather than everything. But there is a good example is, remember a couple of months ago when we had the earthquake?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And there was...
I thought it was upstairs having sex.
Yeah. Well, you know, I remember my girlfriend and I were kind of just standing in the room looking at each other like, what is that? Like, you know, and then we kind of looked at each other and were like, okay, well, let's go on Twitter and see what's happening. And we knew it was an earthquake. And then you go to the news sites and they don't report it for like, you know,
no, but when you say go to Twitter, you just make it sound so easy, right? Twitter.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's different people on Twitter, isn't it? It's not like just you get on Twitter and the whole world comes to you. You still got to know where you're going and who you're connected to.
Well, but you just start following people that you hear about and then you go, okay, well, I'll start with that group. And then from there, you know, they get recommended or you see them retweeting other people.
So it's like, a whole lot of Chinese whispers, really.
Yeah. Well, kind of, but not really.
What I find, you know, it was what I was saying before, is that, you know, I get on there and you suddenly, you know, it might be Michael Jackson's dead or something, mm-hmm. you know, and then you're desperate for more updates and using that, you know, then for a while nothing is happening. And mm-hmm. it's like, well, come on, something else happened. I'm waiting.
Yeah.
Because you just get it so quickly, you know, you want to be ahead of the news. You almost want to get it before it happens.
Well, yeah, I guess, and I guess these days with celebrities tweeting all the time, you know, mm-hmm. maybe Michael Jackson could have tweeted, I'm not feeling well, or, you know.
That's not funny, though, is it? But
no,
I mean, this
funny.
Whole thing with Lance Armstrong, I don't know if you followed at all what's happening about Jimmy Savile in the UK, mm-mm. you know. Right, he was, you know, hugely popular entertainer for years, raised money for children, you know, hugely influential and powerful, and it's now turned out pretty much, we'll say apparently, that he was a pedophile and that everybody kind of knew it, and it's wide-ranging, it's sort of hitting everybody, and so ooh. There's all new claims all over the place.
Yeah.
So that would happen. You know, that's your social media favourite subject.
Really?
Because there's always somebody else coming out of the woodwork. Oh, well, me. You see, I am a gossip queen. You wouldn't be interested in that, would you?
No.
What would you be hitting the Twitterverse for?
What new apps are out? Or, aww. You know, if there's some new song or something that someone's talking about.
Something positive.
Yeah, I follow a lot of people in the US or overseas who are into, you know, gay or lesbian type entertainment. So, you know, I'll find out about, like, a new online TV series.
Right.
You know, those kind of things.
Oh, well, you see, it's different strokes already, isn't it? We found our differences.
Yeah.
I'm interested in crap and bad news. And you're interested in really lovely, heartwarming things.
Well, not necessarily.
Ah, well, we'll look for the darker side as we go.
Yeah.
Great shows, great topics, great radio. Joy 94.9.
It's time for our regular segment here on Different Strokes, the Music Pick of the Week.
And you are picking, Jade?
Yes, my pick this week, yeah. Gillian, is Tokyo, Denmark, Sweden.
Which, all of them.
Yeah.
Sounds like triple entry into the Eurovision Song Contest.
Potentially could be.
Right.
They're actually a Sydney band.
Just to confuse me completely.
Yes. And they're sort of, I would say, describe them as indie electro pop, perhaps.
Right. That's right up my alley.
And they've just brought out their own self-titled EP, so it's a bit like four songs.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and how did you track them down?
Well, I was sort of on the blog areas,
mm-hmm. yes,
and Twitter and that kind of thing, and someone mentioned them, and I was like, oh, okay, well, this sounds interesting. Because one of the things I do try to do from every now and then is make sure that with my music pick of the week, I give something that, you know, the people who might only listen to like mainstream pop might like also.
Right.
So, like I said, a challenge for myself. Can I make someone who likes Timomatic also
yes.
like Tokyo, Denmark, Sweden?
I'm going to say yes.
They've just released their first single, which is called When It Breaks. I would say they're probably a bit more electronic than what I'm used to or mm-hmm. Known for. Definitely more so than, you know, a couple of weeks ago. My pick was Tegan and Sarah's Closer.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's normally about as electro as I get. But this
well,
is...
Well, it's all new for you today, though, isn't
it,
Jay?
New. It is new. And then sort of, they've got a very do-it-yourself type attitude towards the way they're producing music at the moment. And they're playing at the Workers' Club in... it's next Friday with another favourite of mine, indie electric favourite of mine. His name's Argentina.
Great.
So,
oh, goodness, we're going all around the world. Tokyo, Denmark, Sweden and Argentina and Sydney.
I think maybe that might have been specifically why they asked him to be on the tour. They were like, we can get another country in there.
Yeah, the music's not at all complimentary, folks, but they do have a place name.
Become a Joy member so we can give you the best shows every day. Call 1-300-JOY-949.
You have got your finger on the pulse. Tell me about this new iPad mini thing.
Well, isn't it interesting that there are rumours swirling at the moment that Apple is going to announce an iPad mini?
Oh, it's fascinating.
Well, but isn't, like, I find it kind of interesting. They've obviously, they for a long time, they had like a large percentage of the market in tablets,
mm-hmm.
so with the iPad, and then that sort of dropped off, and they're like, oh, well, maybe we need to reinvent ourselves, like, let's come up with a mini version. I assume by mini they mean cheaper.
Sort of like the Nano from the iPod sort of thing.
Yeah, well, but isn't that interesting, the way now that we've got all of these different devices, there's someone who has all of these different devices.
Well, you'd so you'd have them all stacked, don't you? Because you have your iPhone or maybe your iPad Nano down here and then your iPhone and then there'd be your iPad Mini and then there'd be your iPad and then there would be your AirBook, Air, MacBook.
Yeah, and then you could go to a desktop.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. So which one should I have to do? It's like putting on different clothes.
Yeah, you could have like a big display and it could be like those Russian dolls, you know.
Oh, I see. Put one inside another. Yeah. Oh, I like that. Because you know where to find it.
Yeah.
Now, my little iPhone here, I just bought the other day a new case for it.
Yeah.
And put the new screen thing on. I feel like I've got a new iPhone.
Oh.
Because it's all perception, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah,
really?
It is. It's like, oh, I've got a new case.
Yes, it feels new like a new thing. New vibe, great. Yeah. Terrific. I mean, you know, as long as I don't drop it down the toilet again anytime soon. Well, yeah, I mean, you look at an iPhone and it breaks, doesn't it? Let's face it.
Oh, well, you know.
Yours has been quite sturdy?
Mine has actually been quite sturdy. I've dropped it several times.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting towards the end of its life, but...
Oh, what, 2 weeks? How long have you had it?
Oh, you know, almost 2 years.
Really? Yeah. Well done.
Yeah.
Props to you.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9.
It's all happening this morning, Jane.
It is all happening. Woo! But we do have Ricky from City Riots on the phone.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Great, great.
Tremendous.
Good.
Ricky, I feel like you and I, we almost chatted, I think, maybe it was like 2 months ago now.
You're talking about the infamous September?
Yeah, and it was like the studio here at Joy had broken down.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, there were like gremlins involved.
You're blaming the equipment.
Yeah.
Well, fair enough.
Really, I just couldn't be bothered. No.
Okay.
Well, I know. We were so... Actually, we... I'm not saying this to make you feel guilty, so don't feel guilty, but we did, I remember that because we came over a bit earlier to Melbourne to come in and meet you guys and play a little song or something, and then I got a word that the studio malfunctioned or something, and so we were like, oh, what do we do now?
Yeah.
I think you're not watching the...
Stuck in Melbourne with nothing to do.
It doesn't matter how many times people are told not to pour water on the gremlins. They always do.
They always do. They don't listen.
Yeah. Gremlins. Ricky, tell us a bit about City Riots. Like, you're based in Adelaide. Tell us how you got started.
My brother plays drum and I play guitar. So we always had instruments in the house growing up when we were young. When we were about, I don't know, a few years ago, just decided to start... jamming more so and then start a band. And then we pretty quickly wrote a bunch of songs and then recorded them and then away we went.
Was it quick? Was it, you know, or were you sort of playing away in your garage for 10 years?
No, not really. I mean, like, we were in bands in high school, but pretty much as soon as we finished school, my brother somehow came quite a good drummer. He wasn't that good at school. And then I don't know what happened. I went away overseas for like a... 6 months when I finished school and I came back and he could suddenly play drums really well.
Wow.
Like, what's going on here? Cool. All right, let's start a band. So we did. And then we actually went and recorded something pretty early on before we really played any shows so that we could actually have something to sell at shows when that time came. So that's what we did. And then from there we just started playing lots of shows and then pretty soon tried to get out of Adelaide as quick as we could. Not that
Adelaide. Don't blame you.
Yeah. And yeah, just get out to Melbourne and Sydney to try and play shows and meet other bands and make it happen. That's kind of, you know, what's happening. And in the meantime, we've been lucky enough to kind of play some shows overseas in the UK and the US as well. And then we've just recorded our first ever album at the start of this year in Melbourne. So, and looking forward to putting it out. It comes out next week.
Other than you and your brother, are you the band or are there more of you?
I know there's two other guys. We all actually look very similar, but we're not all brothers. There's two other guys. There's a bass player, another guitarist. And they often think that we're, like, myself and the other guys are brothers. But
You're like Hanson or something.
Yeah. They've reformed, haven't they?
They have. Yeah. I actually heard a podcast, like, not too long ago where they were talking about how they run, like, these music songwriting camps where people come and learn how to write songs with Hanson.
Really?
Yeah.
Learn how to write umbop. They're awesome. They're right.
So you make it sound as though it's terribly easy writing songs. Does it come that easy to you?
I enjoy writing songs. I find it really fun. I wish I had more time to do so. Like, we just being in a indie band, is just, particularly lately, there's just been so much happening in the lead-up to putting out a record. But, I really enjoy jamming and writing songs. I don't find it awfully difficult, really, I don't think.
Don't you hate him? I hate that.
But to try and write that big, amazing song, I think is a real...
And do you think you've done it?
Have you found your umbop?
I think so, but you never really know until you put it out there and people can hear it and connect with it. So, fingers crossed.
As you mentioned, the album Sea of Bright Lights, it comes out next week, right?
Absolutely, yeah, next Friday.
Tell us a bit about what we can expect from the album.
Started writing it from last November to pretty much last April, really. We had been touring so much over the past couple of years, doing just lots of support tours and lots of shows, and so that by November last year, when we knew we didn't have any more shows coming up, we consciously wanted to make an effort to just go and write and focus on really honing our songwriting craft and get ready to go into the studio to record an album. So we had kind of made some time with Woody Anderson to record the album at Red Door Sounds in Melbourne. So when we knew that was happening, yeah, we really just bunkered down and wrote almost 40 songs. They're very reverb-drenched indie pop tunes, and we're really excited about it.
You're actually going to tour around the country, though, and you're going to be here in December, right?
Yeah, December 6th at the Workers' Club.
The most diverse sound for the most diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
I've been watching Veep, which is a US TV series on HBO. No word yet on when it's going to be screened here in Australia, but it is based on, well, it's similar. Armando Iannucci, who did The Thick of It in
brilliant.
BBC. So similar type style. He's created this show called Veep that's set in the vice president's office in the US. Julia Louis-Dreyfus plays the vice president, and then there are sort of the surrounding characters. Anna Chlumsky, do you remember her from My Girl?
Yeah.
She's playing her chief of staff.
Great.
And Tony Hale, who was in Arrested Development.
I never watched that, but never mind.
Yeah, so he was Buster in Arrested Development. He's like her personal aide. So it's an interesting sort of, I would call it more black comedy satire style look at being presidential and political.
Well, I think Americans do political comedy pretty well, political satire. How does it compare with In the Thick of It, the sort of British version, which I love?
Yeah, I think it does enough to sort of make its own identity,
right,
which is when it works. And I guess maybe that's because Armando Iannucci is involved in it rather than, you know, like with a lot of the, well, Kath and Kim is probably the perfect example,
right,
when they
yes.
did that remake in America when it was just terrible.
Yeah.
I think if there's enough in a show that sort of gives it its own identity, and the American Office is, I mean, it's probably run on too long now, but
yes.
they managed to sort of build their own little thing.
They did, although it never worked for me.
Yeah.
Because it was a very different, it was a very different thing.
A very different style show.
And not to my taste then.
So, yeah, I think if you manage to sort of create its own identity, I find it really good. Julia Louis-Dreyfus is great in it. She's very... not like Elaine at all.
Right.
So, you know, she's probably most famous for playing Elaine on Seinfeld. She does a good job of sort of playing that role of someone who... She's playing it off like, you know, she's desperate to be president, basically, and, you know, but she's not quite there. And,
yeah.
You know, that kind of... the ego and
yeah, she's great at playing unlikable, isn't
yeah,
she? But
yeah.
you still like her, but she doesn't mind, you know, being an absolute bitch.
Yes, and Tony Hale is great as sort of this bumbling aide who just has this bag that has all of her possible equipment she might need. You know, there's all kinds of chapsticks or, you know, different types of equipment. He knows everything that she might possibly need at any moment.
Well, you've sold it to me. I think I'll definitely watch it. I've got one for you. I'm not going to give you a review of it. It's a British show. You may have seen it already, seeing as you've got your fingers on all sorts of pulses.
Yeah.
Bad Education. Have you seen it?
No.
I highly tip it. It's written mostly by a 24-year-old comedian who also stars in it as a bit of a sort of upper-class twat teacher in a government school. It has the guy who played Gavin in Gavin and Stacey as the headmaster, who's crazy.
Yeah.
It's pretty subversive, really full on, but I think hilarious. So maybe give that a go. Now, you got some funky app to talk about?
I do. It's called Kumo Lumo.
Is it from Japan?
It's got Japanese type anime look to it. Basically, it's a pretty simple app and kind of a bit cutesy and twee compared to some of the gaming apps that I've played or mentioned here in the past. Particularly, like last week, I was talking about Kingdoms, which had, like, you know, it's sort of a strategy style game, and you're, you know, set in medieval times. This is all like in Kumo is a cloud, Jillian.
Right. Oh. Yes. Yeah.
And he's a cloud, and you're basically having to...
It's a boy cloud.
He's a boy cloud.
Yes.
And you're basically floating through space, and the world is beneath you. And it's kind of cool because you're using, you know, you can spin... You're using, like, the device, you know, because it's a touch device, being able to use the device to sort of spin through the world, like, you know, and you've got that motion of spinning.
Oh.
And as you spin through, you can go, you know, you can, like, build little forests or, like, and you have to, like, stop these little creatures by raining on them, and it's just
what happens to them when you rain on them.
They die.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, it's sounding all lovely and you know, bouncing through the forest, but then they
but they're
die.
The bad guys, you know.
Are they?
Oh, yeah, I think they just get bounced off. They come back again, you know. You know, bad guys never really dead, right?
Not in Die Hard.
Not in video game world either.
Right.
Yeah, and you have to. So it is kind of a bit of a game of skill in that you've got each level has like a different sort of mission. So you've got to go. Oh, in this one, you've got to build a certain amount of forest in a set period of time. In this one, you've got to, you know, stop the forest fires. In some others, you've got to collect items from the clouds and all of that kind of stuff. So it's got little missions. It's very much something that is a complete little thing that you could play while you're waiting for a tram.
I was going to say When would you play Kumo Lumo, for instance, while you're waiting for a tram?
While you're waiting for a tram or a train or, you know, those kind
of... But surely by then, you know, aren't you by that time tweeting or reading this or, you know, like, is there time in your life to play... I mean, be serious. Are you going to play Kumo Lumo?
Well, this is the thing about me, Jillian. Every week I get addicted to some new app, and then to move on to the next app, I have to delete it off my phone.
Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, so you just wipe. Are you like that with friends?
Pretty much. If I haven't seen you for 6 months, then we're not on Facebook anymore.
I'm with you. But you are in a long-term relationship, you say. So some things you can, you know, hold on to and get attached to, but other things you like to flit through. Interesting.
Yeah. People particularly are normally like to hold on to just because it takes long enough to build up a relationship.
I'm with you. I hope you're listening, Jade's girlfriend. You're like a pair of old Ugg boots.
I'm sure she'd like that description.
Maybe. Yeah, it takes a long time to wear you in, you know.
Now I've just got that comfy groove. I don't, you know, I'm not getting that fluff anymore, you know, that fluffy, you know, you pull your legs out.
Oh, I know. That's awful, isn't it? Yeah. Just not, but you fit just right now.
Yeah. Anyway, check out Kumo Lumo if you're into sort of score chasing small chapter style apps.
Sounds like a niche market to me.
With a cloud. Oh, with a cloud.
A cloud that rains on creatures and kills them. Lovely.
The fresh sounds of Joy 94.9.
What do you think of the overshare on Facebook?
Well, you know, we were just actually talking this morning and people were sharing their biggest overshare stories.
Mm.
Someone around the station had mentioned that a friend of theirs on Facebook had checked in to their grandmother's funeral.
Love it.
Yeah.
They checked in. Had anybody else checked in?
Well, and then they tagged everyone else who was there.
Okay.
So just so everyone else, you know.
Well, it's a memorable occasion.
They're all mourning grandma and, you know, they're getting notifications. Oh, you've been checked in to the funeral.
Right. I wonder if they were on Grindr at the same time. See who's in the other chapel.
Yeah. Then someone else had said that someone had... A family member had sent them a mainstream big Facebook message to say, oh, I got some bad news. I found out I have breast cancer.
Whoa.
Big news being broken.
Yes.
I mean, we hear about people sort of announcing, oh, I'm pregnant on Facebook.
Yes.
Does it mean we're not?
Well, I mean, I get it to some degree, I suppose, with something like cancer, because, you know, if you have to break that to everybody individually.
Yeah.
And say you are the person, you know, with the problem,
mm-hmm.
and you then have to shoulder everybody's grief, or, you know, then you have to try and make them feel better. But if you just do it in one go, everybody knows. You haven't got to go through that whole, I've got something to sit down, have a cup of tea, I've got something to tell you. Because because you inevitably, if you're the one with the bad news, you inevitably end up having to comfort the other person.
Yeah. So it's a kind of a way that they can all get together and in their Facebook group and comfort
each
other.
Yeah, now we all know, maybe. Yeah. But there was something a few weeks ago that I found quite troubling by somebody that, you know, is a casual friend. I don't know them that well. Mm-hmm. And they have a huge, you know, friend base to the point where you know that not everybody who's a friend of theirs is on Facebook is really a friend of theirs.
Yeah.
They thought, you know, they needed to share about the fact that they'd had this big argument with their best friend of many years, who they really love, but had been really inappropriate with them. And, you know, they went through this whole debrief, mm-hmm. even naming the friend.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just... That, I thought, was deeply
inappropriate. And you assume that that person is also, you know, they may have tagged that person.
Probably, or they may not have. They may already have defriended them. But whoever, a lot of those people, you know, who would have received that would know the friend. And a lot of stuff I just thought are between those two friends,
mm-hmm.
or ex-friends now, but that we all found that out. And I found that bit like I needed to go for a wash afterwards. And yeah, it made me think less of the sharer, to be honest. In fact, somebody else was much bigger than me and sort of said, overshare, I'm unsubscribing.
Ooh. Yeah, I would normally in that situation, I will hide, like, because I've got a big thing about people sort of oversharing, you know, I'm so in love with my boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, you know, that kind of thing. You know, they're the greatest person in the world type thing.
Yes.
I'm a hider.
When you say hide, does that mean that you go in your bedroom, put your head under the pillow, or what does that mean?
Well, you can basically, on Facebook, you can go, hide posts from this person.
Ah, so simple as that.
That way you don't have, you don't have to defriend them or anything. It's like, you know,
you can unhide if you want, or de-hide. Yeah. What do you do?
You can unhide.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's like, you know, I don't want to hear all of
that. So some of these people that tell you that they've had porridge and then they cleaned their teeth and then they got to take their cat to the vet, you're thinking, you know, I don't need to know all of this.
Well, I don't need to know all of that, but I can stand for that a bit more than I can stand for,
gushing.
So-and-so is the greatest person in the world.
Oh,
blah, blah, you know.
They are today, aren't they? Wait till next week and they cheat on you.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.